Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
So as you get closer to the lake, it gets cooler. I noticed this
is over.
I noticed this myself as I was driving down Irving Park yesterday. I went to see old producer Matt Bubala, who does a show here late on weekends on WGN Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt's oldest son, Jack, is going to go to college next year. His high school graduation party and bon voyage party was over the weekend.
Oh, so yeah. You went to that, huh?
I went to that.
I didn't get invited.
You didn't get invited to that, which is a shame because it was a really nice party.
Well,
oh, man.
It's a shame for Jack because I really give nice gifts, but apparently that's his father's choice.
So anyway, I'm coming down Irving Park Road back from that, out in West Dundee, and I'm coming back. And I'm at Irving Park and the Kennedy, and about each mile, the temperature just goes down a degree, a degree, a degree, a degree. So it's like I went from 80 degrees to 74 degrees just as you traversed along. And sometimes the last 100 yards, it'll drop a few degrees as well. It's pretty amazing. Steve, you might want to write this down. It gets cooler. Are you writing this down?
Cooler near the lake?
By the lake.
Not every day, but some days.
It says here, when I said, what's the best tour you ever did? John, the audio tour of the USS Midway in San Diego. To this, Chicago and John, Philly and New York are old. Europe is really old, but Israel. What else on the list of great tours that you've been on? Seemed like I had a couple of others I was just going to mention real quick.
I put in a plug for the Parc Güell in Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
That was really cool. We talked a little bit about this with Reykjavik, but Barcelona is also experiencing like extremely high levels of tourism, and it's actually prompted a lot of activism around that, saying, stay, we can't really handle what we're getting right now. So it's a hot button issue there right now.
But, well, part of it is the dollar and the weaker euro, too, where it's very attractive right now to go to Europe.
So folks are showing up, which you'd think they would embrace. I guess they hit a tipping point. Ask the people that were on that riverboat that got rammed by the cruise ship in Venice. Did you see the video of that, Steve, a couple weeks ago?
I remember the story. I don't know if I saw the video.
You might want to look at it.
Those cruise ships are just offensive.
They are not. Depends on the cruise ship you're on.
Yeah, they don't mean it in that way.
I'm going on a cruise tour right, with one of our fine sponsors in about 10 minutes.
And it's a wonderful company. I didn't mean that at all. But, you know, when you're in Venice and you see this gargantuan boat.
I can't believe how close they are.
In casting shadows over the whole city. It's like, to scale, they don't fit.
If I was a Venetian, and say I was blind, I would say, I don't think this is a good idea. We should not let those ships that big come into our town. Hard hat tour of Ellis Island hospital site. Oh, that does sound fascinating.
Strangely, two prisons pop out in my head. So Alcatraz.
Oh, yeah. Did you do Alcatraz?
I did. That one was very interesting. And I actually, in South Africa, went to the political prisoners where Nelson Mandela was held.
Oh, wow.
I toured that whole area, the island. And to be in the cell that he was in was kind of jarring. Very interesting.
What was it? Have they kept it the way it was when Mandela was there?
Pretty much. You know, obviously you got to keep it up, but
how big is it?
It's, well, the cell in general, definitely not big. The prison alone is also maybe, it looks like a camp, you know, when you go to summer camp, a little cabin type size.
Yeah.
Because they have some of those big rooms where there were bunk beds and mats laid out on the floor and they would sleep there. But then, of course, you know, for some of the more serious prisoners, in their mind, they had the cells.
Alcatraz is amazing, isn't it, too?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you'd jump into that cold water and swim for it, maybe you would. Maybe you would, but your chances weren't good. It's 1:41. This is WGN. We're in the 18th story of the Allstate Skyline Studios. And not too far from here on Friday, I think Friday's the date, there's going to be something that you can physically do to express your outrage with what's happening to these people that are trying to legally emigrate into this country. You've been familiar with the stories of the detention centers in Texas. And there's a woman who is an attorney in Florida, and she volunteers time, along with other attorneys around the country, to represent those people. Remember, if you came to immigration site, you could present yourself, but those have been shut down. So the other way, as I understand it, for a person from, say, Guatemala that wants to legally seek asylum in the United States would be to come up to an agent at the border and present yourself. And most of the people that are being held in these detention facilities are that. So you can debate whether or not they are crossing illegally, but they are crossing into the United States and then not running from the agents, but presenting themselves to them and seeking asylum. Those are the people, as I understand it, that you see in some of these facilities. Toby Jaluka is on a phone line, and she joins us on WGN Radio. Hi, Toby. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. Thank you for asking. Thanks for having me back.
Your organization is Lights for Liberty. You were on with us last week when we were on WGNRadio.com. Some people are hearing you on the radio side for the first time today. So for those who haven't heard, refresh our memory. What's your experience? How are you involved in this?
Well, I'm involved with the visits to the border through an organization called the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law. It's the organization that's responsible for the Flores settlement, which governs the treatment of minors in ICE or ORR or Border Patrol facilities. So per the agreement, we are allowed access to these sites to determine government compliance with the care and treatment of children in their custody.
You physically went down? You were down there yourself?
Oh yes. Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. I've visited both residential facilities and I have visited the Border Patrol processing facilities. My most recent visit was to the Ursula Processing Center, which is located in McAllen, Texas. And that visit was in the beginning of June, so just under a month ago.
And what did you see there?
It was really, it was quite unbelievable. I expected it to be bad. I did not expect to see what we found. And what we found was incredible overcrowding. We found that there was widespread severe illnesses throughout the population. We found that children and young mothers and babies were not being provided with sufficient food, with potable water, with soap, with access to restrooms, with clothing, let alone toothbrushes or showers or toothpaste, and that they were being kept there for extended periods of time, sometimes in excess of 2 to 3 weeks, which these processing facilities are designed. An adult male is not supposed to be held in one of these facilities for more than 72 hours, and children are not supposed to be held there for any length of time whatsoever.
I suggested to my colleague here, Steve Bertrand, last week, I don't remember if it was on the air or during a podcast we recorded, that however unfortunate all of that is, maybe the consolation is that nobody's really there that long. I understand the flaw with what I just said, but I mean, you're not being held there for a year or a month, you're being held there for a few days. Maybe that's not always true, huh?
Well, it's not always true. And B, I think it's important to understand what the purpose of these facilities are. So, I mean, to put it in sort of more terms that are maybe more relatable to the average American, say someone's arrested on some criminal charge and you're taken to the police station and you're processed or fingerprinted and then you're sent to a county jail or, you know, some kind of residential facility. Well, these Border Patrol stations are the same. So these Border Patrol processing stations are designed with holding cells. They're not designed for the care and keeping of humans for any length of time. They don't have beds. They don't have food service. They don't have running water. They don't have medical care. They don't have any of the things that are designed for residential care. So whereas these processing facilities exist for a valid purpose, they are not designed to keep human beings
for more than
a few hours at a time.
So if I saw people in what looks like some caged areas, literally cages,
right.
But I thought
they are cages, yes.
But But if I said, yeah, but they're only going to be there for 24 hours or 12 hours until we can get them on a bus to take them to where they're going to be, maybe I could live with that. But if I said a child's going to live there for a week, then I...
Or three.
Really? I mean, can it be that long sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We saw people who had been there in excess of 20 days.
So
children.
The administration, though, on the Sunday talk shows yesterday came out and said, and the president said that the New York Times reporting on this is just not true. It's inaccurate. And there were administration officials on the Sunday talk shows, and they were saying that there's sufficient food and there's sufficient water, as if that was our only obligation. But still, they said that the picture you're painting is not true. What do you say of that?
Well, I say that I disagree with their assessment. I say that the Office of the Inspector General disagrees with their assessment. If you go back and you read the government's own Inspector General's report, that corroborates everything that myself, other attorneys, other medical professionals, and at this point, my understanding is other elected officials have witnessed with their own eyes. And the Office of the Inspector General continues to release further information regarding the conditions at these Border Patrol stations because they know that we are in violation of our own legal obligations. I mean, we're violating our own.
Well, about that, I want to ask you about that, though, because I'm getting texts,
sure.
And I always do, and they say, well, then don't haul your kid across Mexico to these unsanitary conditions, that whatever our failing is as a country here, the real failing is in the adults that bring their kids to that. What do you say to that?
Wow. Well, I say that anybody who makes that comment does not understand why these people are coming to the United States. It's not a matter of coming here for better schools. It's not about coming here for jobs. They're coming to the United States because they have to, that their children are in imminent danger of horrible violent crimes, including rape and murder and things that we can't even comprehend as being an everyday part of life. But those are the conditions that exist in countries like Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. I have not spoken to a single person who left those countries because they just wanted to come to the United States. They're literally running for their lives.
Are they coming
and
here
as
legally?
Mother,
are they presenting themselves legally to the United States?
Every single one of them. I had individuals tell me that what they do is they cross and then they start looking for Border Patrol. So they'll try to find a road, and once they find a road, they will walk and walk and walk and walk until they find one of the Border Patrol outposts. They're not processing stations. They're just kind of like, you know, outposts. And then they present themselves. If they're lucky enough, they'll run into Border Patrol agents prior to walking for 4 or 5 hours and present themselves for asylum at that time. I've had people who were beside themselves, who cried and begged Border Patrol agents who were passing them by to please pick them up.
Pick us up. We're looking for asylum. And yet we are treating people who are seeking safety as though they are criminals. And we don't need to talk about Donald Trump here, but clearly he thinks that they are and characterizes a lot of them as that. Okay, let me do this. It's 1:50 on WGN.
Sure.
I want to pause because here in Chicago and across the country, is it this Friday that the Lights for Liberty event is taking place?
It is. It's occurring worldwide, actually, 7 to 9 p.m. this Friday, July 12th. We have
wait, hold
over
it right
600
there. Hold it right there. Toby Jaluka's on a phone line. So she's an attorney in Florida who volunteers her time to assist these asylum seekers, but she's also part of an organization called Lights for Liberty. And in Chicago, in McHenry County, throughout the country, there are outposts of people who said, okay, enough of this. If I can't deliver soap and water, and literally I can't, right? I can't go down there and give them... The kids, many of them are in the clothes that they've crossed countries to get to the United States. They're still in those dirty clothes without enough soap in these detention centers. So will not take our, like, remember after Katrina, we all threw stuff in trucks and somebody drove it down. You can't do that here. So what can you do 219 said, are we supposed to take everyone in from these countries? Hey, who's not endangered? We're talking with Toby Jaluka, and she's with an organization called Lights for Liberty, which if you're outraged by this, and I think we're all outraged, but some people say they're outraged at the adults that are seeking asylum with or without their children. Others are outraged at the behavior of America, that we are not more accommodating or empathetic for these people. And Toby, before you tell us about the event on Friday, answer this question. Nobody likes what's going on, says 847.
Right.
But I have yet to hear a solution from these critics. What's the alternative to putting these people in cages? There's thousands of them.
Well, I think that the immediate solution needs to be that we utilize the resources that are currently available to us. And the fact is, there are residential facilities designed to hold people with hundreds, if not thousands collectively, of empty beds. So what we need to do is follow the procedure, the process that's supposed to be in place, which is we process them, we send them to residential facilities. At these residential facilities, the asylum-seeking process begins, which is a civil process. It's important that people understand that this is a civil process with paperwork. This is not a criminal process. And there are courtrooms.
Wait, we have empty facilities these people could be in that are more humane?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Why aren't we using them?
Absolutely.
Why aren't we using
them? That's a really good question. Yeah, that's the true question, isn't it? We're not using them, not because we don't have them. We're not using them because it is the policy of this administration that they want these people to suffer.
Did you go to the one where it's really cold?
Yes. Yes.
What's that?
I was at that is the Ursula Processing Center in McAllen, Texas, otherwise known as one of the freezers.
Why? You'd think that would be expensive. Why put them in a cold facility?
Because it's uncomfortable, because it's designed for suffering. It's
so
designed to create human suffering.
If people are outraged by this and they won't take my bar of soap down there, you've got events scheduled across the country. We've had rallies like this for causes before. It seemed like there was a rash of them in the last couple of years. Not so many lately, but now Friday, across the country, and one of them will be held in Chicago. It's going to be at the Federal Center and Plaza. That's on South Dearborn in Chicago. And that's the Chicago location for your organization. What are you all doing at these events?
These events are designed to provide a platform for impacted people and communities, as well as immigration experts, to speak in order to educate the public and raise awareness on the situation. Ways in which we can improve the situation. It's also designed to connect people because so many people have reached out and said, you know, we've put together these trucks of supplies and we've taken them and they're refusing them and we don't understand. And that goes along with the fact that this is designed as a policy to cause human suffering. However, there are a lot of organizations who have been on the ground for decades providing support. So we're hoping to also connect people with these local organizations that can, so they can donate to these respite centers. They can donate to organizations that are providing to the bond funds, organizations that are providing legal assistance.
Right, right.
And
right. Right. So there's costs that are incurred even if you're a volunteer. And on the site, they have links to those. I just want to get to this. Lights for Liberty.
Yes.
And so it's July 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. in Chicago at the Federal Center and Plaza, 219 South Dearborn Street.
Yes.
Lights for Liberty, I presume, is a play on the Statue of Liberty. And it'll be dramatic if a lot of people are there, all speaking with one voice. That'll be a picture that'll be on TV, on the internet, and in the paper. And so if you're of a mind that, if nothing else, I'll show up and voice my opinion, then Lights for Liberty, July 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. You can Google Lights for Liberty Chicago for more details. And keep doing the work that you're doing, Toby Jaluka.
Thank you. You as well, John. Thank you.
Have a good day. Needless to say, lots of our texts support what she's saying, and many texts say, cut the crap. These people are criminals. They know what to say. They've been coached. So there's two sides to that story. If you're on Toby's side, 5 to 7 p.m. on South Dearborn this Friday.